from the heart of Europe to the world. Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows phones.
R-E-I. Welcome to Postcard from Pop Brad on the Moose. I'm so full of energy this week, boys and girls. You wouldn't believe it. I have had a ball this week, since last week. I hope you're having a ball as well. This is Postcard from Pop Brad. I'm Eric Wiltshire at the base of the glorious Tatry Mountains. And as a couple of you mentioned, I've been very bad over the last year and a bit. Because, get this, it should be ladies first, I was told by one young lady, and was very happy that I introduced Rachel first, not Lee, because it should be ladies first. I am severely reprimanded, Caroline, thank you very much.
I know who that is. He was brought up right.
So anyway, we cross straight to Darwin first, and Rachel will introduce herself, and then she can introduce Lee, and it'll be nice. Rachel.
I love that. That's like a moving train. It's like carriages. Darwin's great. Darwin's in the wet season. We had 132 millimetres in less than 24 hours at Darwin Airport, which is around the corner from where I do my day job, and that's very, very wet. We are still in our monsoon season, but it's all right. Everyone's got waders and a snorkel. And coming to you from the land of no plenty and where you eat or heat, it's Lee G. Banks.
Hello?
Yeah, that was you.
Hello?
What?
That was your introduction.
Oh, sorry, I wasn't listening. It's very pleasant here.
Is it?
I think, yeah, it's nice, it's sunny, it's a bit cloudy, and above everything, it's dry. What it also actually proves is that, like the rest of the world, we are suffering the rigours of insane weather. And no matter how pretty it gets here, as it does in Britain in the sun, we can't forget about the fact that nearly a third of the country's under floods.
Indeed. This is your alternative news programme, boys and girls. So hi to everybody over in the States, in Ireland, in Wales, wherever you happen to be, and as the young lady says, all those lovely folks listening on Windows 8. It has been a horrendous week in the Ukraine, absolutely despicable week in the Ukraine, and I'm pleased to say that although I was checking the wires earlier on, there's a great deal of confusion as to what's still going on, but there is news of a potential election taking place, a government being set up, a sort of coalition government, which will be a government of unity, is the way it's being portrayed, and it would appear that the young Ukrainians, because don't forget, Ukraine is a very interesting country, because to the east of Ukraine, still a lot of people there only speak Russian. It is the language that they use, as opposed to the western side of Ukraine, which is about an hour away from where I live, where they all speak the Ukrainian language. So it's a bit of a weird country. Not weird nasty, but weird interesting. And, of course, you know, there's so many people vying for who should be doing what, where, how, when and why in there. But initially, the EU delegates went over there just to sort of see what was going on and ended up staying and being peace envoys to everybody. And it would appear to me, I don't know, that they've actually got somewhere. What's it to you, you're seeing, Lee?
Well, it is an amazing situation over there. Like you say, you know, it's a country that actually links Europe to Russia. And the scenes that have been going on there are unbelievable. It's almost like the French Revolution again, with barricades in the streets. But, you know, homemade weapons are being used. And Yeah, it's a good thing what's happened. It's a good thing that the Ukraine president has said that there will be an early election, although he hasn't said when there will be one, and has promised a sort of coalition government after peace talks. What frightens me about this is that the whole of Europe, up until a couple of days ago, basically ignored this story. We all knew there was something going on in the Ukraine. We all knew about the riots and the protests on the streets and the students, and Russia was describing them as terrorists. We didn't really describe them as anything up until 2 days ago. And all of a sudden, it now looks like it possibly could come to an end. But it's one of those countries where it's forgotten. It's a bit like it was in the Czechoslovakia and the Velvet Revolution. That wasn't particularly well reported at the time, but was actually one of the major events to change the history of Europe.
Mm. Yeah, in actual fact, before we cross down to Darwin, I would say that even to this day, and it was one of the first things I did nearly 10 years ago when I first came here, I went to the actual square where the students were protesting back then, and there's still a kind of a crazy feel about the place, because you walk in there and there's something there and you know something took place, but you're not quite sure, and it's still kind of... It's not eerie, but it kind of is eerie, if that isn't a contradiction in terms. But
it is, I understand, yeah, it's the ghosts of history.
Yeah, kind of, yeah. But is it how well reported is it in Oz, Rach?
It is reported. Unfortunately, it's been overshadowed this week, in Darwin in particular, because it was the 72nd anniversary of the bombing of Darwin.
Yes.
On the 19th, and there was a whole big... to do about that. Now, it's really interesting talking about, you know, how well things have been reported internationally. I didn't know, as being from the southern states and from other places, that Darwin was bombed until about 2008. I had no awareness of that at all. They never taught that in history in school, which is very odd to me. But to be in Darwin when they're commemorating the 72nd anniversary, and they had their RAAF flyover, they had all sorts of stuff going on, and it was a really big deal. But in terms of reporting with the Ukraine, it got lost this week with that, and it's just and of course, you know, it would do, you know, with all due respect,
yes, of course,
it would do, because it is a significant event in our history, because we're not a nation that was ever bombed, we never fought war on our own turf. So it was a very strange feeling, but there were we saw bits and pieces of this particular issue, but not, it wasn't widely reported here in Australia. May have been, but not in Darwin.
I do have one message for anybody in Ukraine that is listening to us. It is fair to say that you've got the media there now. It's not something that will get buried away as it did previously when there were uprisings in the Ukraine before. This time it's kind of gone viral, and pardon the term, but it has gone viral, and there are people, there are networks around the world reporting it, so you're not on your own. Seriously, we at RTI, just across the border from you, wish you great success in which route is taken in the future. We would like you to have the freedom and independence you're craving, and we would also like for no more people to get injured, because there is no need for it. I don't care who's vying for the control, there's no need for any ridiculous firing of any kind of guns whatsoever, because do you know what? It never solves anything. Never.
No.
Nothing ever gets...
Does it? Look at how many wars we still have in the world.
Yes.
What you were saying there, I would say to the European press, particularly the British press, that actually you've got to remember that this horrendous set of circumstances, which is a repetitive thing in Europe, is actually happening now on the border of Europe, on our borders... Mm-hmm. At a time when this country, the Ukraine, is about to come into the EU, if in fact things continue the way they are at the moment.
Yes.
And we've been ignoring it because of other things, which haven't really counted.
It was a great phrase my dad used to say to me, Lee, and I think it kind of stacks up. Don't care was made to care. And that does make sense. We move on. One of the original members of the US new wave band, Devo, has passed on. That's Bob... Oh, gosh. Oh, no.
This was... Whippet was one of the themes of my early childhood.
Uh-oh.
Whippet?
And, yes... Na 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 na. I'm gonna stop now.
Good.
Because people will be sick. it was one of those. It's one of those. You know, the guys with the flower pots, and everybody knew. And I'm Devo stated.
Are you real Devo stated?
Oh, it was a hit in 1980 for them. Whip It.
Yes.
Yes.
Wow. The Freedom of Choice album.
Yes.
I don't remember who Devo are, really. Are you saying they're the ones who
flower
swear?
Flower pot men. They wore flower pots.
They wore flower pots.
Oh, the little weed.
Oh, hang on, Rach, don't forget.
No, not the weed. That's Bill and Ben.
Yes.
It was the guys.
They were the flower pot men.
They were, but these guys had what looked to. They were actually just plastic hats. But they
I know
like,
who they are now. I thought they were rubbish.
Rach.
Oh, no.
Right.
Yeah, that's because you like Hawkwind and all those.
No, don't forget you are talking.
And that Bob Dylan person.
I live in the countryside. That's why I like Hawkwind. Have you ever heard of Hawk Break Wind? That's something
stop
special.
Stop it.
What? She started it.
No, you started it because you still listen to Bob Dylan all the time.
Yeah.
I'm not talking to you. I fell out with you last week, and I fell out with you a week before, and I can easily fall out with you this week as well. Don't you start on me. Devo, Whippets, what else did they do? Are we not men?
They didn't need to do anything else because they whipped it. They whipped it real good.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway, we haven't mentioned the poor guy yet. Bob Casale has died of heart failure, age 61. That's not very good innings.
So
is it?
Young.
Yeah, very, very young. The Rocky horror star, Christopher Malcolm. I can't get. I'm going to cry as well now.
I'll have a cry as well then. As well, he was only 67.
I know.
Oh, no.
Jesus, you've only got a week left, Lee.
The original Brad.
I love Rocky Horror. He was
Rocky Horror.
The original Brad Majors.
Okay, here we go. Then here's the question.
Yeah.
Rach, have you ever dressed up as a vicar? Lee.
Oh, but she's worn a few dog collars.
What did you say, vicar? Oh,
vicar.
What do you think he said?
Don't go there.
Yeah, tell me what you thought he said.
No, in the commercial break. And Lee, have you ever donned the basque and gone to the show?
I have. I actually have worn a basque. I am wearing a basque at this moment.
Yes.
And I'm doing my little weed dance as that big plant that eats people in the Rocky Horror show.
Yes, indeed.
With a jump to the left
and a kick to the right. Oh, sorry.
Right, exactly. And I've got my big boots.
It's completely different musical. You are so... You need to stop now. Just grab the whole...
I did. If you'd have been listening, you would have heard me say, oh, it's the wrong show about 3 weeks ago.
Our thing is not to listen to each other today. I have a feeling, but that's all right. This guy was also in Ab Fab.
Yes.
This particular gentleman. He was Safi's gay dad in Ab Fab.
That's right.
And he was lovely, and he was a lovely Brad Majors. I saw footage of him being Brad Majors, and he was lovely. He was lovely, and it's sad.
Anyway, we move along. Because, funnily enough, I've got to read a load of stuff from Facebook that's just arrived. Facebook doing something worthwhile? Someone's having a laugh here. Apparently, Facebook are seeking out volunteers in flooded areas with targeted messages appearing in users' news feeds. That's the bit on the right-hand side of the screen. And they were doing this to direct people to floodvolunteers.co.uk, which was set up last week. And it's a way of actually saying to people, come on, let's help out and be community spirited. I wonder why they're doing it.
That's the thing, isn't it? It hits me. You've got to say up front, you can't argue with the fact that actually this is the proper use of social media. And
correct.
As the biggest social media thing in the world, absolutely, yeah, they are doing something good. They're saying, look, let's put a message on there, say, get volunteers out there to help the flood victims in the UK. But you have to ask yourself exactly the question that you've just asked yourself, is why are they doing it? They're doing it for positive publicity, and in a way, what's wrong with that if they're going to do if they're actually going to benefit the communities that have suffered? But this
it
is
took
just
them a while.
It
took them a while to appear to be philanthropic, but at least they're doing something. So,
Do I feel slightly cynical?
Well, exactly. You should be listening as well, because for exactly the reason me and Rachel have just said.
It's
one of those circumstances. I understand what Rachel's saying, but you can't blame them for not coming up with the idea immediately, because somebody might just not have thought of it.
Mm.
And now they have thought of it. But actually, what they should be doing from here is setting up this amazing system which would help volunteers across the world go to any disaster, whether it's in Australia, the Ukraine, over here. Mm. Wherever, and it's a brilliant thing. And finally, Facebook seemed to have come up with something which actually could do something a bit good.
Mm. Yes. Well, moving on to something that didn't do very well on Facebook this week, I asked the question earlier in the week about the Brits and said, who would be watching the Brits with me?
Yeah.
I had responses such as, I would rather gouge my eyes out with rusty nails.
I think that's pretty fair.
Along with no. And I have to say, it was, apart from one particular award, which we're about to talk about now, it's the best Brits I've seen in a very, very long time. It was stunning. The music was brilliant.
How can you say that?
It was quite simple. I'll do it again. The music was brilliant. It came out of my mouth.
I didn't watch it. It was on at a funny time of day here, and I didn't feel the need to stay up until midnight to actually watch it. But excuse me, don't start on Bruno Mars.
Don't you dare start on Bruno Mars.
And that lovely New Zealand girl, Lord, she's beautiful.
Good.
She's 17. She's a genius. The thing that disappointed me about the Brit Awards was that horrible, awful, has-been thing of a man, David Bowie. It was just
the thin white dude really you're talking about.
Just awful, awful man. He shouldn't be allowed out of his house. Because he's boring. He's doing the same old thing and he's boring. Boring, boring. When he was dancing in the street with Mick Jagger, he was kind of interesting.
Yeah, boring.
He had a few moments when you've got to admit he was actually quite a prime mover in the music industry and actually did do some good things and change the face of music.
Lee, there's one problem.
Wives and stuff. What? That was pretty interesting.
I only have one thing to say.
Say it then.
The laughing gnome.
What was wrong with the laughing gnome?
It was the most appalling record of the 60s.
That was right at the beginning of it. We're making excuses for what she called Lordy, whatever she's called, being 17. Oh, she's a genius. Oh, she's 17. David Bowie was doing exactly what she did. At that age, he wasn't much older himself, and he made a rubbish record. But he also made all the other things that he made, like that one about living in a tin can in space and stuff like
Major
that.
Major Tom.
Difference is, she didn't make a rubbish record for the first time that she made a record. She made a brilliant record.
Correct.
And it's doing gangbusters. Why on earth would she have picked up a Swagger Grammys, for goodness sakes? Let's give the girl a break. She's 17.
Because it's about pop music. It's not about proper music.
Rach, we're in trouble. Tell me, you listen to the Hot 100 FM, don't you?
Oh, no.
No?
I rest my case.
They refuse to give me a job. I refuse to listen to them.
We'll find another one similar.
It's a mix, which is 80s, 90s and today.
Right, okay. Anyway, I listen to either Capital FM when I'm in the UK or Europa Dvar when I'm in Slovakia, both of which have music for new people. Now, when we saw this reported, I have to say, apart from one newspaper, and I wish I could remember which one, because I'd love to give them a shameless plug.
I'll tell you.
What?
Go on, then.
You'll tell me. Right. There was one newspaper that didn't lead with David Bowie's got an award at the Brits.
It's just a load of rubbish, ladies and gentlemen. There was only the tabloids led with it, and one of them didn't either, so there's only four papers led with it. There was out of 40 in Britain. 10 pages, in Britain. 10 papers in Britain didn't lead with it. And it's a British event.
Yes, which just goes to prove they're so out of touch with the real world, no wonder young people don't buy newspapers. Anyway, to get onto the plot, the Brits were wonderful. If you didn't see it or got the top 10 list, it was absolutely brilliant. And Daft Punk, although they're French, they won the Best International, and they deserved every bit of it. It was wonderful. And congratulations to TV Marquesa for a great feature piece on it the day after. Well done, TV Marquesa.
Actually, I must say, TV Marquesa are doing really well at the moment, aren't they? Yes. Very impressive.
Yes, very, very, very.
Can we just point out what this story was about, though?
Brit Awards, I think.
Right, so basically what happened was David Bowie valued the Brits Awards so much he didn't turn up.
Exactly.
Yeah, and he sent Kate Moss, who can't string a sentence together.
She was drunk.
I don't know what she was on, but it wasn't reality. Yeah. And she was there wearing David Bowie's old Ziggy Stardust thing. And she was supposed to read this message out, which she did. And yada, 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 on and on it goes. Most of it was gibberish. And then at the end of it, Bowie...
That's just so unfair.
Well, it's not unfair because it was gibberish.
It's just true.
She's not very good at sight reading.
She's not very good.
At standing and having her photo taken, and she should do nothing else.
Yes, round pegs in round holes.
She's getting baggy knees, though, isn't she?
She's getting baggy knees. Yeah. Anyway, at the end of this thing, David Bowie's message said, "Scotland, stay with us."
Yeah.
Which was deemed by everybody to be terrible. And
I can't understand that.
Neither do I. Because, you know, it was his speech. It was his thingy. He was entitled to say what he wanted. If you'd won a Brit and you were from Scotland and wanted Scottish independence and were smart enough to win a Brit, then you could have said it as well. But you didn't, so therefore you can't. But apparently some people who want Scottish independence got really upset about it. Got the raging ump on Facebook and Twitter.
I know, saying he's patronising the Scots.
Well, why was he patronising them?
I can't see how it's patronising at all. Others have said they're going to burn all his records. There were four words added at the end of the sentence which said, "Scotland, stay with us." Yes. That's all he said.
It's his opinion.
It's his opinion, and he's allowed to have it. I don't understand why, when he's not lived in this country for decades, why it's so important to him. But he had a feeling about it. He said four words, and the terrorists of the Twitterati went out and started to attack and belabor him for that statement. Ludicrous. Let the old bloke say what he wants. Mm.
And do you know what? These awards shows are famous for people making their political statements. They're famous for them. Susan Sarandon is famous for it. Yeah. Tim Robbins is famous for it. So many of those, particularly in America, how often do those people get up and go, support the troops and leave the stage? You know, at the Grammys, you know, the most thanked deity in the universe is God. So why can't he just say that little bit and then...
And the fact is, burning David Bowie's records, like, he cares not. Because you've already paid for it, so he's got your money, so don't worry about it.
Blaze up.
It's all good. Go and buy some. That's it. Go, off you go, you whingers. Go and buy some David Bowie records so you can burn them. You'll love that. Marvellous.
Don't forget the marshmallows, because that would be really fun.
Anyway, I have to say, Noel Gallagher, I thought, was not very good.
He's rubbish all the time, and he's a brat.
And I quite
he needs to be shut in a box.
Yeah, and James, I think you've done the right thing by actually quitting the Brits, because it just doesn't work anymore.
James who?
Corden?
Oh, James Corden. Yeah. He's just a big, fat, wobbly idiot.
No, he's not. He's actually a very talented bloke, but he just doesn't work on the Brits.
He's not a talent... Well, he is a talented bloke. Obviously, he can't take his talent away from him entirely, but he's a bit of a simpering middle-class oik.
Oh, right. Says the opinion of Lee Banks.
That's my opinion. She said Kate Moss was drunk.
Well... I think she's a bimbo.
Yeah, she was drunk or stoned, or so she'd been sniffing her.
No, she wouldn't be doing that. No,
polish.
She wouldn't do that. She wouldn't do that. Anyway, a judge has rejected an £85 million claim against Formula One boss Bernie Ecclestone. Yeah, right. Okay, like, do we care?
Well, it is quite important, isn't it, that after all this time where we've been following it, that Bernie Eccleston has actually proved that he is actually nothing more than an 83-year-old bumbling idiot now. And he won this case by actually, in most parlance, most terms and most ways of looking at it, he actually lost. He was actually accused of all sorts, and the judge said he'd done all the things that he was supposedly accused of doing, but under these circumstances he had to do this order. And what amazed me, and this is how bad this has turned out for Bernie Eccleston, is that when he was, I think he was going into the court, he went into revolving doors, raved at the press, walked into the revolving doors, and inexplicably went right round with them and came out and faced
them. I know.
Do you know what he reminds me of? He reminds me of a cross between Rupert Murdoch and Mr. Magoo.
He actually turned round to go back into the building. He just walked out of accidentally and walked straight into a locked door. But, well done, Bernie.
Yeah. Bernie, retirement.
I can't say as I'm a fan of Bernie Ecclestone. Seriously, I can't. But the fact, you cannot knock the fact that Bernie Eccleston said, hold on a minute, this is one of the most beloved sports everywhere. You lot all keep getting the television rights for nothing. The actual drivers get nothing out of you whatsoever. Yeah. I'm going to group it all together. So the people that actually make the programme valuable, i.e. the Formula One drivers, actually get some money out of you commercial television companies for all the work that they're doing that you were giving them nothing for. So in that respect, I've got a lot of time for Bernie Eccleston. I think it's gone a bit bonkers over time.
He's gone weekend at Bernie's.
Yes. and I think that's why people. It's like one of these typical things with Murdoch as well. They forget, like with Sky Television in the UK, they forget, you know, back in the 1980s when he tried to get this thing going, that it was so funny that everybody hated him to bits. And all he was trying to do was something different and make something. Now, we're all sucking up to Sky, and look at the way they all queue up to go on Sky News and be commentators on the newspapers and yada, yada, yada. The very same people who were going, oh, what's behind the Sky dish? A council house. Ha, 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 ha. Yeah, the journalist that wrote all this stuff and said, there was one who famously wrote, The way to lose money on the stock exchange is put it into Sky. Funny that he ended up working.
Not true. You got to put it into Facebook.
But they just spent a load of money. But it's this. The problem with it is it all gets a bit too silly. It all gets a bit out of control. And oh my word, we're nearly out of control as well, because that's the end of part one for Postcard from Pop Red for another week. We'll be back fast. You can make that milkshake, have a cup of tea, or even pop to the little go-go.
From the heart of Europe to the world. Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows Phone. R-E-I.
Don't tell anyone. I'm speaking to you from the world's greenest hotel and the hotel water park complex the Travel Channel described as the best kept secret in Europe. There are dozens of pools, plus saunas, a fitness centre and free Wi-Fi to stay in touch with the office. Oh, and don't miss the new kids attraction and animators to give you more relaxation time. Now, I didn't tell you this. www.aquacityresort.com, close to the beautiful Tatras Mountains. That's www.aquacityresort.com. But shh, I didn't tell you that. Oh, don't miss the amazing laser show.
Hi, I'm Lewis.
Hi, I'm Chris.
Hi, I'm Nick.
Hi, I'm you.
Hi, I'm Ben.
Together, we are all Train to Game winners.
If you want to join us in the Train to Game Hall of Fame
and take your first step in a career into the gaming industry,
please go to www.traintogame.com.
That's www.traintogame.com.
If you want to join us in the Train to Game Hall of Fame,
that address again,
www.traintogame.com.
From the heart of Europe to the world, Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows Phone. R-E-I.
Welcome back to part two of Postcard from Pop Brad, and I will get it right now, with Rachel Brunston, Lee Banks, and Eric Wiltshire. That's put my political correctness out the window for the rest of the week. We carry on back. We're going back to the Ukraine, actually, because I think this is hysterical. I'd love to know what the Ukrainian is for na-na-na-na-na. As we find out that the WhatsApp company was sold for $19 billion to Facebook.